It's an activist and researcher who's talked to me many times, and I've chatted to him during the pandemic about the fascistic impositions on Jewish people by the Israeli government in that period. And it's Shai Danon, and he's very well known on the alternative circuit, shall we say, in Israel. And he's a man who can see that peace is necessary. He can see that there are rights and wrongs on what we call both sides. And so instead of getting the official version or the instant reaction version, let's get a balanced version from Shai Danon. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hi, David.
Despite everything.
Yeah, despite everything, I'm all right, thank you. Many people are not quite so. We're going to discuss that. I guess I have various things to say in various levels, not just about what's happening while we speak and since the day before yesterday. I think I should start with a disclaimer, since it's in English, since it's with you, since many people around the world, I guess, will see it or hear it. I think it's my obligation to start with this disclaimer. First, I'm not an agent of any faction of whatever. I don't belong to any faction, any royal family, any government agency in Israel or outside of Israel. I don't get paid for what I do from any agency or department of my government or other governments. At the same time, what I do is for the goodness of myself, my family, and my fellow community, and obviously the people of the world. I don't want things I may say here to be taken or considered as if I go against my country, against the interests of my country, and against the interest, obviously, of the people I live among. After saying that, I can dive quite quickly into the subject at hand, and I should say subjects, because it's not one subject. We shall start probably from what is going on in Israel, and then I would like to do some zoom out, because it's really important to see a larger picture. Just a few words about myself. I'm in this field of researching truths since 15 years now. I've been following some of your stuff, obviously, Jordan Maxwell, Alex Jones, and I think the one and only Bill Cooper, or William Milton Cooper, rest in peace. I know quite a bit. I have a large audience in Israel who has grown, I should say, extensively during the last 3.5 years since the corona, since I was like maybe one of the 5 people in Israel say this is fake, this is bullshit. And most people didn't want to accept it. The reality is such that, okay, I'll start from a different point. The reality is such that what we see here now in Israel, as sad, as cruel as it may be, and it is, and I will go into this in a bit, this is part of population management by the controllers, if you like. In the same way, like Maui had its fires, and California had its fires, and Greece had its fires, and Ukraine is having still its war, as well as many other places of the world may have earthquakes, may have bad weather, floods, famine, all following the Club of Rome, all following the Club of Rome instructions, if you like. Israel is having the relevant crisis that most people in Israel are reacting well to it, which is a security crisis or a war crisis or terror crisis, etc. What may be different, not maybe, sorry, What is definitely different here at the moment is that there is, I wanted to say, a sense of betrayal, but it's a stench of betrayal. And not me, not only me saying it, people who are serving in the army now, people who retired from the army, people who know what they're talking about when they speak about defense from between Israel and Gaza, the extreme measures with the high-tech equipment Israel is well known for in selling to all over the world, this high-tech equipment for surveillance and discovering even a small tail of a dog moves in the border, you know? And it seems like for a few good hours, let's say 8 hours, the border was crossed in 16 points by trucks, by tractors, by estimate of 1,000 Hamas terrorists, fighters. They are not freedom fighters, and I will explain that in a minute. So the border was crossed and something like 10 settlements were taken over by surprise, by guns, by missiles, with great cruelty.
That's the thing, isn't it? From afar, Shai, having researched myself, the scale of Israeli security and technological surveillance, from the start, as you're pointing out, you're looking at it and you're going, they're not that stupid. This must have been allowed to happen.
This, again, these are the voices. I'm just voicing out the voices that I get in the Israel, Telegram groups, channels, and a lot. And some is on Facebook, some is on Twitter. Those who are really awake in Israel, they don't watch the mainstream media. And as I say, as I'm saying almost every day now, if you believe the media during the corona, they managed to trick you into, believing them and having injection or injections. Don't go there again. They will make you die or suffer again. So those who are really awake, they come to my channel or other channels or other pages, is that they give proper information. The level of security, David, the amount of taxes that we paid over the years to build so-called this fence, this level of security is unheard of. And it's all bullshit. It's just big bullshit. We've been lied to. We've been tricked into a massacre. We're talking hundreds of dead Israelis, including grandmothers, babies, children, mothers, and men as well. We're talking about hundreds of kidnapped grandmothers, babies, children, mothers, and men. We're talking about, and here is something I will say, and we move on. There is an underreporting in the Israeli media. There is a lot of censorship over TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. I'm not sure about Telegram, but WhatsApp as well. A lot of censorship regarding videos that are coming out, but there is some type of censorship or blockage for not letting these specific videos come out. We're talking about really cruel stuff. If you remember, David, and I'm sure you do, the beheading of the Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and all these groups, we're talking about something which follows this line, talking about civilians and, as I mentioned, grandmothers, mothers, babies, children. I mean, I don't really have words for it. The only thing that I can compare it with, and I wrote about it like 1 hour ago on my Hebrew channel on Telegram, is John Podesta, Epstein, Clinton, and these lot what they are probably doing with other human beings, mostly babies and children. This is the maybe the closest equivalent I can find. And for those of you out there who know what I'm talking about, no need to go into more details. So there's a blockage and censorship over this material, and there's an, again, under-reporting of the situation, I guess for various reasons. One, you don't want to scare the population. Two, you don't want to give information to the other side. And three, maybe they don't want to show how bad they fucked up. And I'm talking about government and army officials. This is coming from, it's a guess, it's an assumption, but this is coming from top level. Something like that cannot start just by a decision of one soldier. We're talking about 16 points in defense. We're talking about probably, again, an estimate of 1,000 Hamas terrorists crossing over. They have taken, or I should say something like that, according to a friend which I interview, he's an Israeli, he's an analyst of situations like that and others. He estimates that roughly 100,000 Israelis are under siege, whether locked in their rooms, houses, hiding somewhere, being kidnapped, tortured, killed, etc. So we're talking about a large piece of Israel in the south that has been taken over. Few questions arose in the last couple of days. A, why the army does not do anything after 8 hours, knowing that, look, let's say 20 Hamas terrorists coming over and taking few families to Gaza. They were walking with them. No artillery came from Israel. No choppers, no airplanes, nothing for hours and hours. They've taken 4 tanks, apparently. And you know, I know, many people know that in situations like this, the Israeli army has to bomb the tanks to not let this technology that is in the tanks to fall in the hands of the other side. Also in severe cases like we're facing, in extreme cases like we're facing, there is the extreme commands are to bomb everyone, including our civilians who were kidnapped and taken to the other side. There's no, it sounds cruel. Look, I'm not a fighter. I mean, I was in the army. I was like for half of my service, I was with a gun and everything. You know, I did what was expected of me. And the other half of the service, I did some other things due to various reasons. I know how to shoot a weapon, and I've been trying to get one, to be honest. It's really difficult. I will get to this in a bit. Most of the people of Israel know how to fire a gun, a rifle, an automatic rifle. Most of the people of Israel do not have this equipment because of various reasons that the government over a long period of time removed us from weaponry, etc., unless you are a member of the police force, army, security forces, fire brigade, etc., you know, part of this.
Disarming the population is a prerequisite to this stuff, isn't it? Otherwise, course. You can't play it out as you want. The other thing, Shai, I've heard it said by government officials in Israel, this is our 9/11. Well, when I look at it, and I've researched 9/11 in enormous detail, it's the same principle. And so often you see the same thing. It's withdrawing the usual level of security and protection to actually allow it to happen. I mean, under the way that it should have played out on 9/11, even if you believe the official story, of course I don't, but yes. If you take the official story, it should have been impossible for that to happen. Every level of security protection that was normally in place was withdrawn. And I see so many parallels with what's going on in Israel now.
In a way, yes, I agree with you. I mean, it's, maybe I should get to it now. It's a false flag. It's just, look, when we looked a few weeks ago at the fires in Maui, in Hawaii, it was horrific. I mean, just to see the pictures and people running for their lives, and the police forces didn't let the parents go inside, and then where are the missing children? You know, it was the stories that circle in the internet. People were like, what they are doing? And this is to show the level of cruelty that and the compartmentalization that forces have. I mean, these forces are part of us. Yeah, never mind they took injections, never mind they fall into the traps, you know, the mind traps that they were put. But still, these are our families who are part of these forces, whether it's Maui, whether it's California, Greece, elsewhere, and obviously in Israel. And they cannot comprehend, like in the corona, most people cannot comprehend that their own government is betraying them. Now, it's another test, if you like. It's an IQ test. It's a very cruel IQ test to see whether you trust the people who's sending you to your death or not. If they are sending you to die, and again, all the signs show the stench of betrayal. I've seen over the last couple of days, I've seen few comments, and people were writing in their own pages, blogs, and over the social networks, how it's inconceivable, impossible for that penetration to occur without the help on our side. Just, it cannot happen. Even if you compare it to Yom Kippur War, 1973 war in Israel, they knew it's going to happen. And I tell you, I think last conversation we had, I think I mentioned it, but I'll tell you in a second. Before 1973, they knew there's going to be a war. They knew many people are going to die. And just to say that we are heading towards this number of 1973, and you know that this event, this vicious attack happened 50 years into the Yom Kippur War. Exactly 50 years after Yom Kippur War, we have a very similar betrayal and effect on the population of Israel. Roughly 3 months ago, David, I heard from a woman who came to one of my workshops. And she was here and she was on her phone, although I said, please do not use your phone. And she told me that four moshav or kibbutz in the Western Galilee got a notification from the army to evacuate their places, their livelihood, because soon attacks will be taken and carried out by Hezbollah and other forces from Lebanon. This is in the Western Galilee, okay? We're talking about by the sea, Western Galilee. So the border is with Lebanon. In the Golan Heights, and the Upper Galilee, it's like the border is with Syria. And in the Golan Heights and downwards, the border is with Jordan, okay? So they were getting this information from the army to evacuate their place, you know, their house and their place where they live. And they say, no, we're not going anywhere. And they started to prepare, okay? This is 3 months ago. There were voices voicing the same thing in other parts of Israel, but this is the most accurate I can tell you, that these four places got this notification. I saw it on the phone, okay? I was reading it. And 3 months later, what we have is this event. Now, today, these places, and now evacuating them in the Upper Galilee, evacuating settlements. And what we see, okay, I'm trying to disconnect myself from the emotional side and from what I'm experiencing being here, although not in a war zone specifically, but generally very much so. I'm trying to disconnect myself from that. And again, I'm going to population management. We know that their agenda is to bring us to large cities, take us away from nature, from the landscapes of God, to bring us into the 5G digital prisons and what have you with the crazy plans. So yes, it can happen with earthquakes or floods or fires. It can happen, and it's being done probably also with wars and with terror attacks. And now they are bringing more population into the center of Israel. So I'm thinking, again, a bit out of the madness of the situation, this is what is being rolled out now, okay? They couldn't manage to bring more people to take injections in the last couple of months. So they go into the next phase, which is pushing the population of Israel into cities by using very, very cruel, unfair, unjustified force over civilians. Very cruel, David.
Once you have fear, once you get people in fear, and in this case, terror, they're much likely to do anything they think will protect them from what they're terrorized by.
And I can tell you that, okay, we still have, by the way, I mean, just to say, the Israeli Ben Gurion airport, some rockets have been falling there. Cities in, that's what I heard. It's not confirmed, but that's what I heard, okay? Cities in the center have been getting rockets recently. This is all from Gaza. We're not talking even about Lebanon, Hezbollah, or other parts or borders. And there's a general, a retired general, and he said, 3 months ago, in an interview, he said, this is coming. There's another analyst for the Mediterranean. He's an Israeli guy. He also sometimes interviewed in Arabic channels, okay, like in Egypt, in Al Jazeera, etc. And he said 5 years ago, this is what's coming. The downgrading of the Israeli army over the years, the taking the elite of the army, the officers, the generals, etc., plus politicians, paying them to go into, paying them by a Waxner fund, which is part of Ford Foundation, which is here to destroy the Bible, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, the Israeli nation, the Hebrew nation, doesn't matter now how you call it. This is an ongoing plan before the Second World War, before what is called the Holocaust. It's been going on for many years, and I definitely agree with most of what you say in the broadcast that you did yesterday. This is a Sabbatean cult. This is a Zionist cult, and many people in Israel now start finally to differentiate between what it is to be a Zionist, and not to say that all Zionists are bad. This is not true. There are many people in Zionism, which are really good, part of, you know, our family. They don't know this whole story. Like in the Freemasons, in the lower degrees, you can find really good people. They don't know what they just entered, what organization or cult they just entered. Yeah. So we need Absolutely. To remember that. It's not like, you know, because a lot of times this serves the anti-Semitism. That's why I want to differentiate between the two, the Zionism and Judaism, if you like, or the Jewish people and the Zionists. And at the same time, the Sabbatean cult, the Zionist Sabbatean cult, which has been here for, let's say, 200 years or so, I'm not counting now, and being precise. Yeah. They have definitely been playing out their plans, really long going plans, to dismantle Israel. Another thing. 100 years ago, exactly 100 years ago, hang on, I published it on my channel. 100 years ago, give me a second. there was an agreement signed between, there it is, in 29 of March 23, okay, 100 years ago, 100 years and a bit, okay, but we are now in 2023, this is in 1923. Churchill from the UK signing an agreement with the Arabs in Palestine 100 years ago. The Arabs will help in removal of the Turks, the Ottomans. The Brits will take care that the Jews will give them electricity and water free for 100 years. This is an agreement from 1923. Now, many people ask why...
The Lawrence of Arabia period, right?
I think so, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Many people ask today, how come Gaza Strip, and sorry for saying that, but at the same time, not sorry, how come Gaza Strip is still getting electricity and water from us? I mean, if the whole world is taking care of what is called Palestinians, which are Arabs from various countries, and sorry for saying that, I mean, it's really heavy time, but we should say it. I should say it to your viewers, and I hope you don't edit it out. But according to so many...
I'm not going to edit anything.
According to so many sources, reliable sources, factual sources, there is no Palestinian nation. There is Jewish Palestinians or Palestinian Jews, Palestinian Egyptians, Palestinian Jordanians, Palestinian Syrians, Palestinian Druze, Palestinian Bedouins, Palestinian Lebanese. There is no Palestinian heritage like you have for in the tradition and the culture of the Israelis or the Jews or the Hebrews. And some force, which we know what it is, have created this entity here against the entity of the people of Israel, so they can fight to justify a fight. The losers are always we the people. I hope it will change now. We have a very, very big opportunity to change it once and for all. So I just someone wrote to me that maybe they now disconnected the water and electricity from Gaza Strip, but I don't count on it really. Anyway, it's not the issue. I'm just saying contracts, agreements have been signed behind our backs 100 years ago and also a week ago or 3.5 years ago or whenever, well, whatever time, point in time we're going to take, we are the losers and they are selling us. They are dealing with us like we were cattle, and it's time to put an end to it.
Of course, on the other side, you now got the response of the Israeli government.
Yes, I'm going
again,
to yes.
Under the bombs in Gaza in response are rank and file civilians, and they've been targeted so many times since 1948 in various and ways. But my question now, we've talked about the Israeli government and Mossad and its role in basically the IDF at the inner core, putting its hands up and saying, come in. But tell me what you think about Hamas and what is the force that's actually controlling that. Because when I see bombs falling on Gaza and I see the horrors of what has happened in Israel in the last few days, I see the same mentality, obviously. You can call it different names, but it's the same mentality.
This is something that everyone has to wake up to, really, everyone. Not just in Israel or in Gaza Strip or in Judah and Samaria. It does it all over the world. And you've been talking about this also yesterday. Israel is behind Hamas. Israel put Hamas in its place to fight what is called the PLO, okay? Hamas was established and funded by Israeli government. It's been even published in the mainstream media in Israel. I mean, figures from Gaza, figures from Israel, even a parliament, a Knesset member has been saying it. Few of them, not just one. Recently, they are deeply involved in terms of intelligence, money, agents, etc. I'm not that deep into it. It's not my cup of tea to deal with these things. But listening to what others are saying and judging from my own eyes and from my own research over the last 15 years or so, definitely. Now, who runs Shin Bet, Mossad, Israel? Who runs Hamas or other organizations, Al-Qaeda, whatever? This is CIA. But who runs CIA? We go back, hello, we go back to MI6. We go back to the royal family of England, the Windsor. We go to other prominent names. We go to Windsor, we go to Bourbon, we go to Savoy, we go to royal families who are holding most of the shares behind these states or these corporations or organizations. And it's all in order to create chaos. Now, mind you, David, again, I've watched your video yesterday and I know your work and I'm very thankful and I appreciate it. And I've said it a few times in your face, in broadcast. Thank you very much for everything you did and still doing for all of us and the information you put out. Still, there's one point seems like is not emphasized enough. Because when we say the Israeli government or CIA or Mossad or, okay, who runs them? So let's say it's the MI6 or Royal Family of England, or let's say it's Rothschild, Rockefeller, Soros. We have all these names outside. It seems like many of the alternative media, like you mentioned yesterday, are not dealing with the royal families, the nobility, the black nobility, whatever other names they carry. And there are definitely names of families, and every certain period of time, they change their name, they delete, erase their history under a certain name, and they start a new history for their new name. These guys have put out, with the money of Rothschild, the banker, they put out the round table with its organizations. And obviously everything now is happening is going according to the Club of Rome plan, etc. So when we go and look behind the scenes, who is pulling the strings of those who are pulling the strings? Who is making the money? We come to BlackRock and Vanguard Group. Who is running them? Who is the investors who hold the shares in Vanguard Group and BlackRock besides the, you know, the small man who can buy a share? We're talking about royal families, bloodthirsty, occultist, satanist royal families who go way back to Egypt, Babylon, obviously the Roman Empire before that, etc. So we are not going to solve everything and expose everything in this broadcast, but just to give us some bird's view of what is going on, because the main thing for them is to create chaos, havoc, to have and make people scared, like you said. So we will only deal with our survival. So we won't have the time, the energy, the effort, and the resources to go and see who is pulling the strings behind the strings.
It's about focusing attention. It's about focusing absolutely. People's attention.
Absolutely.
Overwhelmingly on survival, so we don't stop, breathe, and just see what's going on while we've been going through our lives like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm absolutely with you. I mean, the royal families of what we call history have actually absolutely been part of this. But, you know, after the royal family started to, on the surface, disappear, we've still got some, these royal bloodlines that still see themselves as royal, as special, they took the line of dark suits, and they went into politics and banking and business. And in the simplest of terms, you've got the people of Gaza, and you've got the people of Israel, and they're fighting each other, but strings attached to both are being held by the same hands in the shadows. And if we don't grasp that, then we'll go on being divided and ruled. And of course, this divide and rule now in Israel, Gaza, is not just playing one off against the other. This is a mighty chasm that's actually been opened up.
I just I was sent a picture of a town near Hebron, a town of Beit Umar. The Hamas groups have raised the flag there. The flag is the National Socialist Party flag. This is a Nazi flag. And again, those who have eyes to see, we know who runs Israel as well. Yes, Britain just announced it will send the army into Israel. Now, I want to take us to another bird's view. I don't know if it's higher or lower, but another bird's view. The prophecies. We had the first temple ruined, the second temple ruined. There is a third temple that maybe or maybe not will be built. Those who are pulling the strings, they want to build their own temple in Jerusalem with their own black Pope nobility in charge. They want their new Rome or their new Cairo or the new Babylon built here. And this has been, again, by many researchers have been mentioned, and they came to the same conclusion.
Right.
What we see here now is the escalation towards this event, as myself and others analyze just the events. Now, I'm saying all this, David, and I will go into more depth in a second, but I'm saying all this, I just want to give people the impression, the picture of, during the day, I run a studio, like, I try to bring the other side, like I'm doing with you now, like you're doing. So I'm trying to give live sessions for people who cannot see the mainstream media because they know they're a bunch of liars, and they're looking for, to keep updated and someone to give them sane angle, keep their sanity. So this is what I'm doing in Hebrew at least half of the day. I've been interviewing people and showing stuff, not the horrific stuff, but just showing stuff to connect the dots. At the same time, I'm preparing food, water, a shelter. I'm trying to get hold of a gun or a rifle. I don't have a license. Look, I just filled these papers to get a gun. Now, that's another thing. The system. Look, what I'm saying here, most people don't see, don't get it elsewhere, okay? Even not in Hebrew. So the system, our own government, as if here to protect us, now has come out with a fast track of having a fast track for a license for a gun. Okay, so you fill this form, you go to a doctor, and within a week you have a license. This is bullshit. Why it's bullshit? We don't need a license now. We need a gun now. Not bureaucracy, not someone to tell us if I'm eligible or not, able or not. Even if I have a broken leg or I have diabetes, fuck, I still need a gun. So it doesn't matter what's my, health condition or whether I did this before or not. The fact of the matter is that the border was crossed and we were betrayed. And now the same bunch of, corrupt officials are telling us what's the best way and a fast track to get a gun. I don't believe them, I don't trust them, and I'm doing everything I can to get a gun, to get a rifle. The next stage, and by the way, this is a retired general have said that exactly. Listen, the war now is in the streets. The rockets that fell on Israel are, let's say, a few rockets fell. Let's say 150 rockets fell since the day before yesterday. When 1,000 rockets will fall, and I hope not, I'm just saying, if people will run to the shelters, the next step is terrorists from Jordan, Syria, Egypt, Gaza, Judea and Samaria, Lebanon, will come in and shoot everyone, throw a grenade in the shelter and kill, again, civilians, children, babies. So the whole protocol of how to protect yourself is, sorry for my bad English, but it's fucked up. It's bad. It's not to protect us. It's to lead us to slaughter. What we need to do, and this is not just me saying, this is like proper people who had proper service in the army for many years. They are saying, even if it's just to keep us safe and to protect ourselves, not to go and attack someone, just to have a protection for ourselves, self-defense, we should all have guns. Now, yesterday, we should all have automatic rifles. We should all have a cavalry cover for our body. We should all have guns yesterday. And they are saying it like prominent figures in the army who are actually with us on the same page and not against us. So this is another trick that is being played on the Israeli population. On top of that, we need to remember a lot of the Israeli population has been injected with shitty injections by their own government, brainwashed into believing, hypnotized into believing some fake bullshit story. And I totally agree with you, David, on that, on the problem reaction solution. No problem reaction solution. It's all fake. In a way, similar to AIDS and the AZT and the story back then in the 80s. No problem reaction solution. Like almost like in the swine flu, no problem reaction solution. They've been running this test back then and they saw it can work and they did it much better nowadays with the fact that everyone has their own brain or mind control instrument, you know, the smartphone thing in front of their eyes and on their brain and in their hand with all the frequencies running there. So basically, I ask people also, I'm not just deciding and assuming for myself, I'm also checking with some other people who know a bit or two. Is it possible that the Israeli soldiers are being played by frequencies after getting the jabs with the things inside? Doesn't matter, graphene oxide, doesn't matter with stuff inside. Is it possible that some frequencies are at play? It's possible. It doesn't mean it's happening, but it's possible.
Yeah, well, my view is, in terms of the jab, that a major part of it, and I think this is why so many people have said to me that people that they knew before they were jabbed, they're now very different, very much more vacant, very much more finding it difficult to focus, and they're kind of, you know, off with the fairies. Yeah. And it's my view that this self-replicating technology, nanotechnology, graphene, what you're talking about, is actually interacting and acting like an antenna, receiver antenna, with the 5G cloud and these other electromagnetic sources of manipulation. So I could see absolutely that what you're saying could well have validity. I think it does.
I think it's definitely an option that should be on the table in terms, and you know, I've been saying it since they came up with the injections in, I don't know, I think April or May 2020, they start to think as the injections as a solution to the problem, yeah, without even the reaction of the people here, just they gave the solution without talking about vitamin C going out in the sun. Obviously, we covered all that in the past. So I said back then, the ones that police forces and the army will get jabbed, this is a huge problem for Israel, huge problem. You cannot rely just on technology. You need people to operate it. And what we see now is the technology was, I should say, someone managed or took care that the technology will not work or will be ignored. And there's a story about the soldiers who actually sits on the, they sit on the monitor and they see movement in the fence and the area. And there's like a system that can track movement and shoot, automatic system. None of it worked, David. Something really bad happened there. And this has to come from someone high in the ranks. Don't know who, but obviously there's calls for in the social networks to fire the general and the Ministry of Defense, etc., etc. At the same time,
it's amazing too, isn't it, that so much of this happens when Netanyahu is in the leadership role, Prime Minister.
Well, to be honest, he's in the leadership role of Prime Minister for many years now. So many things have happened during.
Yeah, they
this
have.
Time.
They always seem to happen when he's around.
Yes, but he's around for many years. So many things have happened during this time. The fact that he's around for many years, it's what, you know, that's the problem. Although others, and this again, you need to understand as well as many other people around the world, if Netanyahu is right wing, let's say, although he's a very leftist right wing, if I'll, let's say, for a moment, deal with the normal politics as we know it, because I know it's BS, but still, the left, the lefters, the those who actually on the left in the government, you can say they are worse. So he's bad and they are worse. Both are bad. And that's the illusion of choice of, you know, going to elections and choosing, oh, he's bad, they are worse. Okay, let's choose bad. So
yeah, and I think that Netanyahu is a puppet, obviously, of forces well beyond him. But he's such a compliant puppet that keeping him coming back as prime minister gives the people in the shadows a very clear run in terms of controlling policy. But what's the situation now, Shai, in terms of the infiltration of Hamas into Israel? It happened. There's been a response. But what's the situation now? How widespread are Hamas still infiltrating Israel?
No one out here really knows. Let's start from that, okay? But as far as I know, some of the Hamas terrorists have taken vehicles like ambulances, police vehicles, army vehicles, and they may still be in Israel pretending to be Israelis. This is one thing. Second thing, three or four settlements in the south are still being occupied by Hamas, and some villages or settlements have completely burned down, ruined by Hamas, or while fighting with Hamas after the Israeli army or the Israeli forces have entered the area. For example, in Sderot, is a town in the south, a police station that Hamas took over is completely destroyed by the Israeli forces. I mean, they bombed the whole police station, okay? So, as far as I know, three or four settlements are still... There's like fights going on between Hamas and Israeli forces. On top of that, as I said, a few hundreds and maybe more are dead, but few hundreds were taken, kidnapped, and maybe more are probably more, like a large number of hundreds, if not more, are dead, and thousands of wounded. Hamas is heading, look, I showed a map. Okay, what they did, I mean, this was planned for many months and has been executed while there was also a, you know, a rave party nearby.
Yeah.
In the rave party, there was something like 3,000 people, maybe 2,500. Just in the rave party, they slaughtered 200 young people. I just had a friend here that his daughter survived. He just told me he's still shaking. This is 2 days ago. And his daughter survived the party. He didn't even know that she went there. She told him she's going to a party. Even when it started, he didn't think that she's there because we're in the north and this was in the south. You know, he didn't think that she will go that far. And he told me that he's still shaking and I can see. I mean, and she, obviously, she ran away. She said they were shooting her from here. She ran there. They were shooting her from there. The rave party was published everywhere. You don't need like specific intelligence to know that there is a rave party nearby. The Hamas groups, they enter the place. They start to shoot in the air. All the people ran to the exit, and they were just, you know, butchered with automatic guns. So Hamas entered from the south. He entered one side towards the desert, one side towards the sea, attacking the sides, not in the middle, okay, and creating a corridor towards Jerusalem. I'm laughing because, again, it all fits the plan. At the moment, it seems like Hamas has taken, not taken over, but infiltrated a land that is equivalent in the size to Gaza Strip. So he doubled Gaza Strip. A friend analyst, he's saying that he thinks that this area will be given at some point to Hamas. So Israel will evacuate the settlements that are there. And again, according to population management, they will bring the population up to the north, to the center of Israel. We have generals and like good people who warned us from this 30 years ago, 40 years ago. This is obviously before the Oslo accord or agreement. Before Rabin was murdered, Sharon was murdered because of that. Prime Minister Sharon, I mean, the story is that he got killed in the hospital, but actually he probably got murdered because of stuff he did or say. Anyway, we were warned that this will happen, but the Wexner deep state officials for decades now have been taking the country to a very, very bad, fragile place. And we had those who warned us against it, but we, the people, like, you know, most people are just, they want to live their life. They don't want to deal with all this. That's why we choose these officials. But apparently these officials get money from elsewhere, not just from us. And they are doing what they are being told by their masters and not what they're supposed to do for us. So this story has been going on for long now. I know, as I said, few towns in the center of Israel got rockets. Few settlements are still being fought over. Some rockets, this I got this morning or like a couple of hours ago, some rockets have been flown into the Ben-Gurion airport. In the north, they are evacuating settlements because of Hezbollah and some movement on the fence. Now, just to give you... just to give you another level of what's going on, Israeli Arabs. Okay, I mean, let me just, I try to order it to make something make sense here. We have from Gaza Strip, we have the Hamas and its other organizations. We have the Palestinian territory with Abu Mazen. He's not part of it at the moment, okay? We have Hezbollah in Lebanon. We have other forces run by probably Iran, probably by Russia, okay? And some say that even this Hamas attacks were maybe even now, who is fighting in Israel, maybe also Iran soldiers, maybe even Russian soldiers, maybe even Ukrainian soldiers. We don't know. We don't know. So you have a few fronts, which is very similar to the 1973 war, Yom Kippur. So you have few fronts, and again, the evacuating the settlements from the fronts, from the borders towards the inside of Israel. This is before, and again, I hope it will not happen. Here, I just get the updates, Lebanon, 12 rockets or missiles, I'm not sure, have been flown from Lebanon to the north of Israel. Okay, what I was about to say, that another front is the Arabs in Israel. And that's why I go back to what I said before, I need a gun. So on one side, I'm good, I'm having coffee, luckily, and I'm safe. I'm preparing, like, you know, hoping for the best, preparing for much, much worse. And just 1 kilometer above my house, like here, there's a hill. And when I go outside, I look. Now the eye is looking differently, you know, on the surroundings. So I know 1 kilometer from my house, there's an army line, because just after this line, there's some Arab villages. And on a day-to-day basis, they are fine. I can go there and fix a puncture in my car. You know, I can do shopping if I like. But now things are very tense, and you don't know where the next hit will come from. So I know the army has put, a friend told me, the army put here like vehicles and units to have this line, you know, this buffer between us or the area here and these villages. This has been happening in other parts of Israel as well. Now, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when the corona started, I wrote and I said, live, the one of the main targets is military occupation of Israel. Of Israel, not of the Judean Samaria or Gaza Strip, of Israel. A military control like you had in Nazi Germany with borders and vehicles and soldiers, and you have to show a passport. It can be Gesundheit passport, you know, the green passport and all this Bill Gates bullshit story, but it doesn't matter, because the idea is to control the population. Israel has been divided into, I think, 12 or 13 cantons, like in Switzerland. And each canton has been divided to sections. Okay, already a few years ago, not now. And when I said that this is where we are heading, people are like shy. Because of a pandemic, I say, I don't know why, but I know this is where we are going. Recently, a law, an unlawful law, I should say, has been put up in the Knesset to allow the Secretary of Defense or the Ministry of Defense to put blockades, to stop everyone from moving, to stop people from flying, to stop people from moving from their neighborhoods. So we said, yes, this is part of the 15-minute cities. You know, it's part of this. It's all together. But as I said before, for some places, fires will do. For others, floods. For some places, terror and war. By the way, all day I hear, well, finally, in a way, I hear some airplanes and choppers flying above my head. It's been going on now for some time. And I'm saying finally, because for 10 hours, nobody did, like, no one did nothing on the Israeli side. No one did nothing. And the Hamas groups just entered Israel as if, not as if, because the gates were open. So now they're talking about this unlawful law to pass it, because I think it didn't pass a few months ago, to pass it just to, again, bring security to the people of Israel. You know this part in the movies, you know it better than me. It's for your own security. It's for your own safety. This is what is been going on now. And the only solution to that is not to, sorry, I'm saying this as an Israeli, and I'm going back to the disclaimer at the beginning. Listen, guys, whether you're from the Mossad, Shabak, or other forces, intelligence, 8200, whatever, I'm a good guy. I'm an Israeli guy. I take care of myself and family, and I don't like to take shit from no one. And I'm saying it with great sadness. We've been betrayed, and I don't trust the army. I don't trust the police force. I trust myself, and I trust friends who are with me on the same wavelength, on the same page, on the same angle of exploring reality and understanding what's going on here. And I trust a gun in my hand. We are at that point, David. We are not talking about robotic dogs in the street and other videos on YouTube. This is like real stuff. And I'm still here talking alive with a coffee, and I have water and everything I need. But some people, obviously, we're talking now thousands of people, their lives will never go back to be the same. I grew up in a settlement part of my life from the age of 10 to 22, maybe. And when I was 10, this is a personal story, but you need to understand where I come from as well. When I was 10 years old, I was alone with my brother at home. He's bigger than, like older than me, 3 years, I think, older than me. And suddenly we heard automatic guns outside the door. Just if now someone, we close the lights, we close the doors, we hid. It turned out that it was a neighbor shooting in the air to scare some cows from his land. This neighbor gave me nightmares. Okay, these shootings gave me nightmares. Nothing happened. I was safe. Nothing happened. But I want you to understand, and I want people to understand what is post-trauma and how it works. I mean, you spoke about this extensively, and I'm talking not on a really severe post-trauma, luckily, but again, the mechanism is the same. Every evening before I went to sleep, this is from that day onwards until I was 24, maybe 22. From that day onwards, every evening before I go to sleep, I planned and I saw in my vision, this is not dreaming, this is before going to bed. I lie in bed. Before going to sleep, I lie in bed and I envision how I terrorists are coming, and I run from here and I go up and take my mom's gun or my dad's gun, because we had like rifles in the house back then in the settlement. This is before the first Intifada, before 96. This is 95 maybe, or 85, sorry. This is 80, from 81, okay? From 81, 1981 it started when I was 10 years old. I'm 52 years old now. And every evening, I planned how I escape, how I go to run, to call for help, how I take a gun and I kill the terrorist, how I save my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad. What I, every night, different scenarios. We're talking about at least 4,000 evenings of 4,000 different scenarios. This is where my brain went every evening because of the trauma of few seconds or few minutes of a gun, an automatic gun outside my house. Every day when I woke up, it was gone. It was gone. In order to survive in this world, my brain blocked it somewhere. And every evening, again, it came up. And I wasn't aware the next day that I fall asleep with that scenario. When I was 27 years old, I was in India. I was just outside, I finished a Vipassana retreat for 10 days. And this probably brought some things up. And I was walking in the mountains with monkeys, a beautiful place. And suddenly, I remembered. I'm talking from when I was 10, let's say till 22. And when I was 27, suddenly this came up to my conscious mind that for every evening from 10 years old to 22, this is what I had been running through my head every evening.
So then you compound that with what people will experience as a result of what's just happened.
They experienced, they had visuals. They had visuals. They saw body parts. They saw beheaded stuff. They, look, it's really, I'm nothing. my nightmares or post-traumatic, it was just on listening or hearing some shots, nothing major. What these kids have been seeing and are still seeing, you know, yesterday I said in a broadcast that I think it's better to die and not be kidnapped and raped. And I want to say a word about that. You know, when you compare the Israeli army bombing civilians and Hamas groups, and I'm saying groups deliberately, not terrorists, not freedom fighters, just groups, okay? Hamas groups entering Israel and attacking Israelis, you cannot compare it. And I'll explain why. On a general theme, the Israeli army, the Israeli soldiers are not there to kill women, babies, grandmothers, and they are not there to rape them, to torture them, to beheading them. They are not there for that. Yes, it may be that during your army time, you do some really bad things. But this is not a general theme in the Israeli army. I've been in the army. I have friends who've been in the army. I have friends who their sons and daughters are in the army. We're not acting like that. I want this to be very clearly understood out there. Yes, we can fight. Yes, we can be brave and do things. But inside, we are moral. And I'm not talking about the IDF is the highest morality army in the world. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the people, not the rumors. I'm talking about the people in the army. Yes, it may be that some string will get torn in their brain and that's it. And they lost it and they can be really cruel, like happens in these scenes and war scenes, etc. But a general theme is really far away from us being cruel and doing cruel things just for the fun of it or for the cruelty of this of it. But I cannot say this on the other side. I cannot say this, David. I'm sorry. And I'm not talking about all Arab people around me. I know many Arab people and they are really good and they are really nice and they like me. I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about the Arabic villages around, the civilians. Nobody wants war. I'm talking about those who are trained from very young age to hate, to have their senses so, forgot the word.
Desensitized.
Thank you. To have their senses, to have themselves desensitized. Say again?
Desensitized.
Desensitized,
where you lose your ability to feel emotion and empathy for that which you are affecting.
And that's why I compare it at the beginning to psychopathic behavior, like we see with Podesta, Clinton, and the lot. Because what we see here in the last couple of days, and again, most of the videos and pictures are not coming out, but I can tell you that even the bit I saw, and I don't want to see it ever in my life, because these pictures sorry for my bad English again, but they fuck you up. They ruin your brain. You cannot, and this is just from watching the pictures, David. This is like snuff, nasty stuff. And I'm not talking even about those who experience it. I'm talking just about seeing the pictures or the videos. Those who do it, in hypnotized, brainwashed, drugged, and I don't blame them, because from young age they've been trained to be as such with a psychopathic behavior. But we need to understand who we're dealing with. And when someone like this, you know, there's this phrase that the globalist put in many people's brain, especially in Israel, that peace you don't do with your friends, you do with your enemies. Yes, I agree. But enemies like we see today, you don't make peace with them, you kill them. And you have the all the right and the obligation to kill them. They don't come to make peace. They don't come to attack soldiers. They come to kidnap babies and to rape them. They come to kidnap grandmothers and to rape them. This is extreme. This is not a video game. This is not in a basement. This is outside here. Outside here. Outside here. And you know me for some good years now, David. I'm trying not to talk bullshit. I'm trying to keep sane, objective, and I'm being emotional, but I'm trying not to, just for this broadcast. If someone comes to kill you, regardless of who sent him, first, you have to protect yourself. And you know what I see? Hamas groups being caught, and they are giving a sandwich, and they are giving a drink. And when I see this, I think something is really bad. Something is, it's not the way to go forward. Okay, you want to investigate and to, you want to investigate them and to get some information out of them. That's fine, understand. But I'm not the one to say it. I'm not a judge. I'm not an executor. But when someone comes to your house to do this, if you see you're going to lose, you better kill your family before he gets them. This is what we are dealing with. And I cannot say this on our side. When you come to Israel as a terrorist, after, if you get caught, you know what you get in prison? Besides the food and the mobile phone and the video games, you can learn a degree, maybe even 2 degrees. And after you get released by your own prime minister or your own government, they can go elsewhere and continue their education. Something is really bad, and it's been going on for decades, David. And I know what people think of Israel in the world. I know about anti-Semitism. I'm aware of that. I've been talking about this in English, in Hebrew, with you and others. Something here, sorry, I say it again, I rephrase it. Those who are pulling the strings are playing with all of us. It's a mind game. It's a consciousness game. We are spiritual beings, as you know, in this world. We are much higher and more than the 5 senses. But this challenges we get to bring us back again and again to the 5 senses. So we only live with this fear chakra, the lowest energy field that we have, so they can keep controlling us. I'm not saying it's a solution to go and kill everyone. Not at all. But as the first measure to protect life itself, to protect yourself, is you have to kill anyone who comes to kill you. And this is, you have no other choice. Otherwise, you will not be here. You will be your soul and continue your journey, but you will not be here. And when you are here, while you are here in this 3D reality, you have to do what's right. And what's right, sometimes in extreme cases like that, is to be a partisan with all the, you know, the extreme meaning that this may be.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we will not see eye to eye on everything, but I completely understand why you're saying what you are in the circumstances that you're now faced with. And, you know, I also have great sympathy for the innocent who are on the other side and caught in the same.
Me too.
Same bind, the same manipulation that the Israeli innocents are caught in. As we come to an end, Shai, and we must talk again. What else would you like to say to finish? Because you've given us a massive amount of information. What would you say to finish?
First of all, thank you for having me. I think it's really important that I'll say about myself, but it's the same voice, okay, especially in English, outside, out there. So thank you for bringing me, because more people need to hear some other points of views apart from mainstream media and even the social networks. You know, I got a link this morning that the ABC or CNBC, I don't remember which network, gave try not to call the Hamas people terrorists. Okay, just to give it this angle. But anyway, I go back to what you say. So first, thank you for having me. Second, do not believe your own government. Never, ever. Let's finish with this story. Third, do not believe your mainstream media. They are all being pulled by the same string pullers. Fourth thing, trust yourself, your intuition, your higher connection to God, your higher connection to your spiritual side and your soul. This will protect you much more than any government or media or anyone to pretend that is coming to protect you. Fifth thing, get to know your community, your nearby community. Not because not everyone or everywhere now, it's like Israel, but whether it's 15-minute cities, whether it's fires, floods, famine, what have you, these bastards are after us. You have to organize yourself with the right appliances and food and water and weaponry, etc. But at the same time, you have to get to know your neighbors, and you have to be on the same page, because you want to trust your neighbor and you want him or her to trust you. And this takes time. And it may be that he listens to CNN and you already realized it's not it's not the right place to listen to. So you have to be on the same page. This is really, really important. Another thing is to, you know, the Agenda 21 slogan is like, think globally, act locally. So in that sense, we have to penetrate the local authorities. We have to take the local authorities from within. Doesn't matter if you're in Zimbabwe or in Cheshire. Doesn't matter. You have to penetrate the local authority from within. Never go on your own. Always go in a group, like they did in Glastonbury. When this woman spoke in the Glastonbury meeting, this was really, really important. And I shared it and I translated it, because it was really important to give some backwind to Israelis that they can do this as well. Most people are scared. Most people are scared even just to write something on Facebook or to share the truth, which they feel and they resonate with. They're scared about what people may think of them. They're scared about many things. Stop being afraid. If you are here and if you are alive, especially if you've never been jabbed, if you know your government is lying to you, you are here for a reason. Act knowing that you are here for a reason. This may save your life. One last thing is to send my condolences to all the families who got family members killed or kidnapped or wounded. In a way, also to the civilian families in Gaza and elsewhere in the world who got hit or wounded or killed or by crazy people. And thank you, David, again, and God bless us all.
Thank you, Shaul. We'll talk again. Thanks for that. It's been fantastic to get that side of things from within the country where it's all happening, and you're still going on.
Yes. Thank you very much, David. All the best. Bye-bye.
That was great, mate. We'll get that out in full. I might do it in two parts. Depends how long it is, but we'll put every single word out.
Excellent. Excellent. I think it's important.
Yes. The recording has stopped.